Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello and Merry Christmas to you. That's right, it is your Spider-Pan, Jeremy, back again to have more fun here in the Fandom Nexus with you. Although the next couple of shows are going to be just a bit different. Well, especially today. Today I'm going to do something I have not done before. You can consider, I think like when I hit 100 episodes, I did like a flashback show and I had like 100 clips, you know, that I did for like two episodes working up to 100th episode. And we're going to kind of do something like that this weekend, but next week will be even more special for doing things special for Christmas and, you know, less about geek and pop culture and video games and more but just having some Christmas fun. And what I'm going to do today is I have dug up from 10 years ago. I had done a couple of shows and I asked some people at my church and everything and some of my family members to share some Christmas memories on one episode. Now, I interlace that with me playing some Christmas songs, which I don't have license to do that. So I really could have, you know, that's trouble for me. So I've cut those bits out, but I've got a few clips of that I'm sharing. And then I'm going to cut right into what the third episode, I guess. Yeah, because the second episode is where I shared clips from people. And then third episode, I sat down with Philip. This is the first time you would have heard Philip on the show. Now we call him Lost Boy Philip, the Kryptonian. He frequently co-hosts with me. I was going to try to have him on this week. We wanted to talk National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. He found some fun facts about it, but he is exhausted. We just finished our Christmas program last night, and I'm going to let him rest. I have some fun things to do with him this week. We're bringing back the Mighty Marvel Tooncast, and he's going to help me out with that. For those of you that remember the Mighty Marvel Tooncast, and maybe you listened to it or maybe you didn't, this is a good chance to go back and listen. I've made it now more of an exclusive thing, though, for we would do episode commentaries. I used to do this with Tim Nidell, who used to have the show Saturday Morning Rewind. He's building up a new YouTube channel until he just got too busy and he couldn't keep up with it because it takes a lot of work to make these podcasts. And so I was kind of on my own. And I didn't really want to do it on my own. So the whole thing got stopped and I always wanted to bring it back. And I've figured, you know, now with Philip and I can sit and watch these shows together and do commentaries, which will be exclusives on that feed. You'll have to go to Mighty Marvel Tooncast on Red Circle and they'll be, well, I'll even have the website. I'm building and rebuilding the website for Mighty Marvel Tooncast and everything. And I'm sure in show notes, I'll have it set up where you know how to get to the exclusive feed, which, by the way, there is an exclusive feed for the Fandom Nexus as well. This on the exclusive feeds is going to be as well as the Patreon. It's another way that you can help support the show, but you can get in there and I don't put the ads into those, but you can hear bonus bits of episode, you know, extended versions of episodes and stuff that I'm re-releasing that maybe I'm not going to release to the main feed anymore. Like the Mighty Marvel Tooncast, the commentary episodes will become bonus. And what you'll mainly just get in the main feed is when probably mainly Emma and I, and I'm going to sit down with her and we'll go over all these old episodes. What episodes am I talking about? I guess I haven't said. The Mighty Marvel Tooncast started as the idea of watching old, like 90s Spider-Man and X-Men. Then I expanded and we watched Pride of the X-Men in one episode, a 00 episode, which I might have made an exclusive. But even 80s cartoons. And so what I'm planning to do this week, I was going to sit down with Philip and we're going to watch some episodes of the 80s, The Incredible Hulk cartoon. Some of these are available for viewing and some of these are not. But the nice thing is I can hook this up to where we can hear on our headphones the show, but I can cut the sound of the show out. which keeps me out of copyright problems. I tried to, back when we were doing this, I was trying to post this to YouTube so you could watch along with us. And, you know, I got copyright hits on that. So I'm trying to avoid any copyright hits, try to do everything the proper way. So you'll hear us talking about the show and watching it on those exclusive episodes. But if you just go for the main feed when I bring this back, and this happening pretty soon, at least in next year, you'll hear us talking about episodes that we watch, and we kind of bounce around between Spider-Man and X-Men. And towards the end of the show, I had somebody request that we watch The Incredible Hulk. And so I'm going to start with some of the 80s, but we will watch the 90s Hulk, because I've only ever watched one episode, and that's when Tim and I tried to record an episode for that. But he recorded it on his computer, and then when we had to step down, he ended up losing the file or something. He doesn't know what he did with it. So I'm going to have to redo that episode, and we're going to start basically a season two. But we only had like four or five episodes really of that done, but I still get downloads for that, and I've had a lot of reviews on it. People were really liking the idea, so I'm hoping I can rebuild that, because it was a fun show, and I enjoyed doing it. So be looking for that. I will let you know when we bring that fully back online, but we plan to do that this week, record some of those, although it won't be main episodes yet. You know, I need to play some catch-up, and I'm off until next year, so I have some time to do some stuff, but I am on vacation, so I'm not going to necessarily do anything that requires any work other than this. So... But, you know, sitting around watching cartoons, that's something I would probably do anyway with some time off, right? I think I'm finally going to get a chance to watch. Netflix has the latest Spider-Verse movie. Was this Across or Through the Spider? I don't remember even what is this. But I watched 20 minutes of it a few weeks ago, but I had things to do. I got all the way up to where they finally got to the title of the movie, and it's 20 minutes in, and I still have 2 hours of that movie to watch. So I think I'm going to sit and watch that today when I eat my breakfast. A lot of fun things, and so I'll be able to finally talk about that movie, I guess, in an upcoming episode. But like I said, so today I'm going to share some memories of the second and third episodes, which are Christmas memories. And I think you'll enjoy hearing that if you haven't listened to those old episodes, or if you have, but that was 10 years ago and maybe you've been with me that long. I think you'll enjoy it. I'll tell you now, the sound quality is not great. And with the conversation with Philip and I put background music back in the day because I thought I was allowed or whatever. And I've got, it's a bad recording that was from like Main Street USA in Walt Disney World or something, of them playing their Christmas music on a music system, but it's a really bad quality recording thing, and I've kind of got that in the background. So kind of ignore how tinny that's going to wind up sounding, and just listen to Philip and I sharing some fun memories on that one. But next week, make sure you come back next week. I got something very, very, very special next week. I've been meeting with some friends of the show, some other podcasters. Well, meeting with, I guess not the right word, but I've been contacting them, and we're going to read the Christmas story to you in parts, and I will be getting some music that I am allowed. YouTube has a collection of music that I'm allowed to play in the background, and so I will collect some of that music and play it in the background, and we're going to start even from Isaiah and read some verses out of there. So we're going to just read it out of the Bible, and I think it's going to be really special. I haven't gotten to get started. I can't read my portion today because I seem to have forgot my glasses at church, because I had to transition into Jeremiah the prophet, and Jeremiah the prophet shouldn't be wearing glasses. So I put my glasses down somewhere, and because I didn't have to read anything, I left them behind, I think. At least I can't find them anywhere at house, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever done something like that, right? Okay, I can't be the only one that's left their glasses at church or something. So hopefully they're in the back room or in the room where I run the live stream from. I don't know, but anyways, that's what's coming next week. Because it's Christmas Eve on Sunday and Christmas Day on Monday, I thought what better way than to sit. And I mean, I've got Jonathan Johnson from Diz Radio, Mary Howell from the Nerds and Jesus podcast, Ricky Pope from Christian Nerds Unite, myself and Heather and Philip, all of us going to read portions of the Christmas story. And I'm really excited to get it all together. And I hope you're going to be blessed by it. I think I'm going to be blessed just listening to the other readers. Hopefully we all do a good job of reading and we don't just sound monotonous. But I'm thinking, we're podcasters. We know how to read something, make it sound good, right? So make sure you come back next week for that. But I've been babbling long enough. Let's go back in time 10 years and hear some Christmas memories.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Many years ago, my siblings and I lived with grandparents. There were six of us, and we didn't have much at all. Anyway, we were living with my grandparents, and they lived on a farm out in a small town. And the thing was, we wondered what we were going to get for Christmas. We didn't have any idea. And so, to our surprise, Christmas morning, the Baptist church in the small town had brought us Christmas.
Aww.
And my sister and I, we got these little Patsy dolls. They were just really stiff and hard and everything, but they were just precious. And then everyone in my family got a toy, or they got a clothes, and we got oranges and fruit and stuff like that. And I just remember that, especially being with my grandparents, and they were really, really special to us, and I just can't never forget. They just blessed us so many times. The end.
Well, that was a memory shared by our dear friend Ruth. Ruth is a very sweet lady. She actually made my wedding, well, costume or clothes, whatever you want to call it. We had kind of a fairy tale wedding. And today, if you haven't guessed, we're going to talk about some Christmas memories. I've went around and I've asked a lot of people about to share a memory from their childhood of something special that happened to them on Christmas. And I'm going to share some of that today.
Work today was good.
My name is Ben. Here's my story. When I was a kid, I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household. Didn't know what Christmas really was. I thought it was just a bunch of people trying to show how rich they were to one another and be popular with one another. So until I went into foster care, I really didn't get a chance to even know what people believed about Christmas and what it was all about. When I was about 13. I met Jesus for the first time, and he changed my life. And so the following Christmas, when I turned 14, I got to experience my first Christmas. I was at the Missouri Baptist Children's Home, and the local church had gathered up our Christmas list and gone out and gotten everything on it. So when I woke up on Christmas morning and came down to look at the tree, there was a bunch of things with my name on them, and I never felt so special. I felt like someone really loved me, and it was one of the first times in my life that I really felt loved by people that didn't even know me. And I felt like, maybe God does love me. And it was a very special Christmas for me.
Okay,
this is Heather, and Jeremy, my husband, has asked for some holiday memories, and I have lots of holiday memories. Probably some of my favorite ones are just the little things that we did to get ready for Christmas. Like, we would make cookies. Mom would always get out the sugar cookie recipe, which I've learned as I've gotten older has to be refrigerated for a certain amount of time before it's ready to make cookies. But she would get that going, and we would help her make that. We were always helping her cook, and we'd get the tree out and decorate it and make the sugar cookies, and we had records. We had the same Christmas records that we would play, and, you know, the Little Drummer Boy with the Little Boys Choir that is often played is one of my favorites, and we had a Burl Ives record that we would also play, and love Burl Ives, and some other little records where the kids were singing, and had Frosted the Snowman as kind of like the host, and the kids would sing songs for Frosty, and that was always really, really fun. And we had a hill in our backyard that we would slide down, and our cousins would come over, and we would sled down the hill if we had snow. Usually we had to wait till like January, February to do that, but we always wanted that snow for Christmas so we could do sledding. And so, you know, those were the things that we always did around the holidays, and we always had, you know, Christmas pageants and things like that, little programs that we would go and do. But Jeremy tells me that's supposed to be for another time, so I'll have to save that story for later. Some of my favorite Christmases, one of them was, and I don't remember my age, I was probably like 6 or 7, and our bedroom door was always open because I was scared of the dark. And my bed was right, we had the two beds, me and my sister shared a bedroom, and I was right across the door where the door was open, and we could see the Christmas tree straight out my door, and I could keep an eye on it. You know, I was waiting for Santa Claus to come, and I knew he would come, and even though it was dark, I could see the outline of the tree and outline of the stuff that was underneath the tree. And I was going to try to stay awake and, you know, just, but I wanted to be a good girl. So I didn't want to, like, you know, scare Santa away. So I ended up falling asleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I don't know what time it was in the morning. It had to have been really, really early. And I happened to open my eyes and I saw the outline of more stuff underneath the tree. And that Christmas I got a wooden cradle for my dolls, and we got some like My Little Pony stuff, and I think that might have been the year that we even got the castle, like we got the little My Little Pony castle, and me and my sister shared that. And but it was just the magic of, I mean, I went to sleep and I could see there was, you know, just a little bit of stuff under the tree, and then when I woke up there was so much more, like it was just like magic. And and that was a great year. And then I had one year that I was always a good girl, never got into any of my presents, but there was a present that one of my dad's friends gave us, and it was a big present. And so I wanted to know what it was so badly. And I'd sit there and I'd stare at that present underneath the tree. And finally, one time I just couldn't stand it anymore. I just wanted a little peek, just a small little peek. So I poked a small little hole, just a teeny tiny one, so I could see inside what was in there. And I really couldn't see very well because it was dark. But I did end up messing with it enough to know that it was a bear. Big stuffed bear that was in there. And I never did it again because it kind of wasn't as exciting when I opened it, you know, Christmas Day. And I still love the bear. It was one of my favorite stuffed animals as I was growing up, but I don't peek anymore. It's just one of those things as a kid, you know, you just try it once just to see what it's like, and then you don't do it again.
Hi, I'm Everett, and I got a little bit of a story to tell that when I was a child, I was really very sickly, and it meant so much to me that my family did show so much concern. And I remember I had uncles and aunts and cousins just coming to my house all the time and bringing me presents and food and cheering me up. And I'm just saying, it's wonderful to have a family that's caring, but it's even more blessed when you have a family that's like the family of God. And that's how I'm happy to have both.
Hi, I'm Martha. when I was a child, we cut our own Christmas tree. We trudged through the pasture over to the hill in the far corner and cut a cedar tree. And we had a flock of sheep who ate the bottom branches, so the tree had to be the top part of the tree. And then we had to pull it back to the house and decorate it, but it was all fun. And
did the sheep follow you home?
No.
Oh, that'd have been fun, though. You can make sweaters, Christmas sweaters.
There you go.
We've been having a good old time this month because it is Christmas time. And so we are going to continue that theme. We're going to continue with our Christmas theme. And if you remember from last week, I did ask for a few of you to perhaps share some stories, if you had some, about being in a Christmas pageant when you were a child. And so we are going to talk about Christmas pageants, which is a time-honored Christmas tradition. So without further ado, I have a special guest who is probably not for the last time going to be on here talking about nerdy things. Because we are who we are. We are the biggest kids I know, and that's what this show is about. But let me introduce you to Phil.
Hello, how you doing?
That is Phil. That was a great intro, wasn't it?
Hello, how you doing? That's me.
Look, this is Phil.
Hi.
I'm Phil. That's Phil. So Phil and I, we went to the same church, grew up together, where his father was a pastor. And so we got to do a lot of Christmas pageants together. So we're going to kind of talk about our memories of doing it and the wacky things. We have a pretty good story that we have to be careful how we phrase it, probably, because this is a family-friendly show.
PG.
Actually, I try to be as G as I can, but there might be a few PG songs I pick out for an upcoming show. I'm going to have still something post-Christmas because, you know, that 12 days of Christmas kind of thing. We're going to have a special program. I got a lot of different varieties of the 12 days of Christmas. And, you know, there is mention of buying alcohol and cigarettes as a great gift for Christmas. And so if anybody's going to be offended next week, there you go. Okay. Just to get that over the way. But if you don't mind your kids hearing that sort of thing, that's fine. But if you want to, I'll warn you and you can skip ahead like 5 minutes next week. But that's next week. So, this week. All right. Now, you know, I don't recall much doing any pageants until your church kind of joined into where my old building was. And I don't even know what happened to the old pastor I had, but I don't think we really ever did anything before. But then you guys came in and it's like every Sunday school class had to have their own program. And then, of course, a nativity, which is the typical thing.
Well, before we ever joined in together, you guys went to the Maple Park Garden Bible Church.
Yep.
And we went to the Moment of Truth Baptist Church, and we're both very small churches. Your pastor had some health issues and eventually had to retire. I had to do research on this a couple years ago on all this. But he had to retire, and we were basically not drying up. We had a lot of people, but it was just a small little room. There was nowhere to go. So we always try to have programs at our church, and a lot of times each class would try to have something, and it was always a lot of fun. But really, until we got to go and join with y'all and became the Moment of Truth Bible Church. Well, it was Bible Church.
Well, that was Bible Church, yeah. Then we became Bible Baptist.
Then Bible Baptist, yeah, when we got the newer building. But anyway, yeah, when we did that, yeah, we didn't have a lot of room to be doing those shows. So when we first started, my aunt, you remember her, Aunt LaDonna?
Oh, yes.
LaDonna Alexander. She would make puppets.
We're trying
not to
get last names, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry. Well, she would do all sorts of nice little puppets, and we'd have nice puppet shows doing some of the nativity things, stuff like that.
I remember, I don't think this was part of Christmas, but there was one year she was doing a Daniel in the Lion's Den with these puppets, and she had the two lions. It was so cute. I don't know why it's stuck in my head, but when Daniel gets thrown in and she's a little lion, she goes, I'm not going to eat them. No, God will get really mad.
That's right.
It was so cute.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those, I don't know if it translates well when I'm telling people on here, but it was really cute when you saw it.
It was very Jim Henson-like.
Yes, it was, because she made some of the funnest little puppets.
Yeah, she did. She had a way of really personalizing these shows. So we did a lot of that. One of my favorite memories, though, I'm sure this is one of you're going to mention. That, one of my favorite memories is whenever I was 11 years old, we did this thing called the Christian's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, we kind of got bored with doing the nativity the same way every time. So
yeah,
tried
maybe
to
I was 12. I'm trying to remember what year.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
The first time I wrote it all out, and I still have to teach it once in a while. But it was called the Christian's Christmas Carol. I played Bob Cratchit on the first one, and we had some other fella who was just visiting for a while who played Scrooge. But my favorite memory of that one was that Jeremy played Tiny Tim.
And I was tall, skinny, weird, wiry kid at the time. I was, you know, I was skeletal.
What cracked me up was I had no idea how you're going to be dressed and it came your turn to come out.
Because it said in the script to come out in pajamas. And what I was wearing for pajamas at the time, because it was cold, was a pair of white long johns.
He comes walking out and the whole church bursted out in laughter. It was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Memorable.
Oh, yeah. Because it was pretty much like I came out wearing white tights, man. That was...
The next year, I liked even more. I have pictures of still. Was whenever I played Scrooge, you played Bob, and John played it several roles. Marvel.
He was always a great Marley.
Yeah. And he was Marley. I'm gonna say not Marvel. He's Marley, and then he was the Christmas present. He was wrapped like a giant present. And this is before I saw that anywhere else, like any kind of Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Like they do have that, but. Yeah. At the time, we hadn't seen that yet. It was really cute.
Was it the first year we did it that your grandpa was Scrooge?
No, just a young man who was visiting was.
Oh, because I keep thinking your grandpa played Scrooge one time.
Well, what my grandpa did was for me, I was planning on making a kind of a half animated thing about it. And I had my grandpa record the voice of Scrooge, so I still have his voice of Scrooge.
Cool.
And if I ever use it someday, I'm hoping to someday be able to. I may use at least bits of it, because, you know, I don't know if I'll change the script around. It's possible to go to someone who's in heaven and say, hey, can you do this in script?
Sure.
When I draw Scrooge, I always put a little hints of my grandfather.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah. That the main thing was the fun with the Christmas Carol is when we did the Ghost of Christmas Past, we could still do our nativity show. We just do it when we visit the past. Because we went for years where we'd have a nativity, and basically, when you get up there, you get in whatever pose, and I was a shepherd for years.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, we'd get into whatever kind of pose, and whoever was the angel would have to stick their arms out, and then they'd stop, so everybody can sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we're all trying to freeze and hold that position while they all sing.
When you're little, it's hard to stay still.
Yes. It was awful. But I remember probably one of the more fun times I had is when you, me, and Seth were the three wise guys, as we said it.
Yeah.
We were the wise men and everything, and the fun part is... My grandma had this outfit that she had made, I think back even with my Uncle Wayne when he was doing these kind of things as a kid, but it had like a complete outfit and everything with like the whole tunic and the robes. And so it was always fun to wear that and everything. But we were like hanging in back, and I do a lot of acting kind of stuff. And if you ever see me like backstage, I tend to work up energy because I get excited to do stuff. My wedding was crazy like this.
I remember.
You remember that. And it's because I get excited. So I'm working up, and it's what I like to call performance energy.
You're hulking out.
It's right. And then, but I like when I get there on stage, I'm like focused and everything. But it was like I feel like I kind of almost half rushed this because I can't remember who was walking in front. But I was like, yes, we're going down. Here we go. You know, I get up there, I'm like a ball of going, and so it was fun and everything. The three of us getting to be kind of knuckleheads backstage,
slightly,
and before we came marching out. But I remember the most painful year that we did a nativity. Well, because my knees have always been kind of a pain in the neck. I'd never actually learned to crawl when I was a baby because it hurt my knees. So I scooted. I've never been able to get down on my knees for long because it's excruciating for me. I don't know why, but it's really bad. But there was one year I was Joseph and your sister was Mary. And so I had for the entire show, because we came down first, obviously, and then everybody had to visit. Yeah. And I was supposed to be sitting on my knees. I was in agony. Now I lost my train of thought. But yeah, so we've done like the nativities for years. So the Christmas Carol really gave us that chance to branch away and still do a nativity.
And I don't know if you remember this one. But what I remember was my first year as a Sunday school teacher, and I was like I'm thinking I was a junior at the time. I was a junior in high school. I had been teaching for several years, helping Miss Robertson. Mm-hmm. You remember her?
Oh, yes.
And she was outstanding. I love that woman. But anyway, I was doing my first year, and I had you come to assist me in the program, and I dressed like... Now, don't ask why I did this, except for the fact that I was teaching at the time, for Sunday school, that is. I was teaching preschoolers. So what do kids connect with Christmas is Santa Claus. And I've always taught about Santa because I love Santa Claus. What, you know, you can still love Santa and love Jesus Christ more.
Right.
So what we did was we got all the kids around. I was dressed like Santa and Jeremy was dressed like an elf.
Yeah.
Which was really perfect at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we got together and we sang with the kids. And what I loved was in front of the whole church, the kids were blowing out the candles on little cupcakes. You remember?
Yeah, we had a birthday for Jesus.
Yeah, we had a little birthday party for everyone. I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, I remember doing that. What song did we sing? We sang a song together.
We sang a couple of them. We sang Happy Birthday and all, and we came into it. And so I offer you this simple prayer.
It's from 1 to 92.
Yep. That's right. Yep. We basically was singing about Jesus with that tune.
Right. I knew you'd like done some rework for it. Oh, do you remember one year? Because we Sunday school classes had to do separate things.
To him who died for me and you. That's what it was. To him who died for me and you.
Yeah. But must have been my sophomore year for junior year. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was my sophomore year. I had tried to say, okay, well, we need to update the Christian's Christmas Carol, but we weren't doing anything collective anymore. Each Sunday school class had to do their own thing. And so I had spent all this time writing up a script called The Christmas Avenger.
Oh, there you go.
Where I had like a Scrooge-type character, but instead of meeting three ghosts, he was going to meet this goofball superhero. And you actually made me the thing to kind of wear for the costume, because I had like a mask with a Santa hat, and then you'd drawn up the little thing. But I had this big elaborate script, and then your mom was the Sunday school teacher, and we were so short on casting that all we really had is your sister being the mean person and coming across me. I looked like a bum. I was just sitting there in the corner like a bum. And I stood up and I was teaching her the real meaning of Christmas.
I never understood that story. I remember watching it because I wasn't in your class at the time. I remember watching and thinking, what is this?
Yeah, it did not come around to me because I had this grandiose story and this well-written thing. I wish I still had the script I wrote. But your mom looked at it and like, we don't have time for this, nor the cast. But this is, we can do something with this. And so, and it was awful. And I had been so excited to do it. And I had even, I'd gotten a copy of Robin Hood. The Prince of Thieves, and I'd set up a tape recorder and I recorded the music off of it because I wanted to play that at the start of it.
That's one of my favorite things to this day.
Yeah. And we never even got to use it. That was so disappointing. Like, this was going to be this great thing and the whole church was going to be so excited by it, and it was terrible.
That's our salute to Michael Kamen.
There you go. That's our salute to the great Michael Kamen.
Late great
and thanks for recording with Metallica.
That's right.
That's a pretty cool thing for him to do. Even if the album isn't that great, it was pretty cool that he did it.
Hey.
golly.
One of the things that I love with one of our first nativities we've done when the churches combined, I recall that they had different cast members from each group of the Sunday school. So for the shepherds, they had the teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
And for the wise men, that was still my favorite time I ever saw the wise men. We had three adult men come down.
Yeah.
And I remember one was Bill Chisholm. And he's with the Lord now. But Bill Chisholm. And one was Lonnie Thatcher.
Yeah.
He's still with us. And then one was George Kuntz, my grandfather.
Yeah, I remember that.
I love when they come walking down. My grandma had all these doodads around the house. They were kind of like lanterns, but they looked really nice and fancy, so they used those for the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And my grandpa wore this bathrobe that he wore just on special occasions, and it was real nice looking. It looked like something that a wise man would wear from back in the day. So for years, that was what we'd use. Every time someone had to do a wise man, we'd use that. And I would love to say we still have it. We did until a couple years ago. Someone threw it away at church. Aww. And I was not happy because that's my grandfather.
Yeah.
But still, those are fun days. And I remember that.
That's part of the fun of like the old Christmas patches, because it's there's a song I'm going to play if I haven't played it already. I don't know when I'm going to put these songs in. But it quotes the line, it looks like there was a sale on bathrobes at Walmart.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, you know? that's kind of what it looks like, because everybody's. I was always nice that I actually had a costume that Grandma had made, but it got passed down. I remember there was one year it was adorable, and I don't remember who the baby was, but your grandma was like, I don't know, was a nursery helper or whatever, but she came down with a little jingle bell and a little baby,
that
with
was
a Santa hat, singing a little song.
Yeah, he was the only one she would have, and that was I'm trying to think of his name right now. His last name was Roberts. I remember because I knew the family pretty well, but for some reason I can't remember the kid's name. But he was cute. She held him. Yeah,
it was an adorable thing. They came walking down the middle. But it was not a complete thing until after, of course, your dad would have been, through the nativity telling the Christmas story. But then a good old Riley Brown would get
good
up there,
Riley Brown,
whip out that sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
And start singing. Oh, the hat I got for Christmas, he still be.
My mother and then played that song for him, and he went nuts for it. But now every year when I hear it, I hear different words. The waist I got at Christmas is too big.
Oh.
You're allowed, though. It's Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be no sad faces or skinny bodies at Christmas. So, but always, one of the things that was always so special when we were kids, and when you would leave, they'd have little bags, like treat bags for all us kids.
Still
had oranges and apples and candy canes and hard candies. And, you know, what's cool about that is I never really knew it back then, but I've heard, you know, as I've gotten older, when you talk to people who are, you know, like much older than us, that was Christmas. That was what you wanted in your stockings. You'd love to get those apples and oranges. That was what made Christmas special. And they didn't need all the frills that we were kind of, you know, we're a little spoiled maybe.
A little.
With all the things we expect. But back then, they'd get some nuts and apples and oranges, and it was the greatest thing. And it really kind of reminded me how special those bags were.
I didn't get to see it today, but I know that today, I'm here in Clay Como, Missouri, that there was the fire truck that went around today. That always had Santa on the back, and they would every year give you a little bag of treats, and there would always be oranges and apples and the nuts, different types of walnuts and awesome. All that stuff. And you know, it's funny is I didn't always eat the walnuts and stuff because it was always hard on my teeth. But I gotta say that it was just something that was so Christmassy to me.
Yeah.
About the smell of all that together. And
yeah.
I just loved it until you accidentally poured it all out together in your toy box and you smell the rotten apple later. which happened more than once.
You know, and I had never thought or seen anything like that until actually just this week. And I'm going to plug another podcast called Inside the Magic, insidethemagic.net. But anyways, the guy who's the host of that had posted up stuff on Facebook, some video he took. I guess they do this regularly around Orlando, but they had the full sirens going, like a police car and a fire truck. Yep. Right behind the fire truck, it was towing Santa on his sled, waving, going right through the neighborhoods.
That's awesome.
And I was like, my goodness, that's great. Well, but I've never heard of Santa.
In the old day, kids, you know, first of all, I don't know if they were doing this during the Depression. I'm assuming they were. But kids didn't have much.
Yep.
And sometimes that was all they were, poor kids were going to get was that bag of candy and all, maybe something from the folks. But that was pretty special.
Yeah.
And I think it still is.
I still get a kick out of it.
That's why I kind of, and not to get on the back of my day situation, but I do think it's sad.
That's what this show is about.
The kids, you know, kids nowadays, and hey, we were spoiled too.
Yeah.
But kids nowadays, I think, sometimes have so much stuff that they don't appreciate the little things. And to me, the little things make the big stuff.
Yeah.
Worth living, at least.
It was fun. And that's one of the things, you know, we've learned is with working with kids over at the church and whatnot is when it comes to like overnights, you give them prizes that are the simplest toys. They have a ball with it. Mm-hmm. They don't need a lot of the high tech stuff when you get down to it, unless you're really just a spoiled jerk. But we're getting off on a way other topic. But yeah, I mean, simple toys mean so much. You know, just because there's more you can do with a toy that has more than one function, you know?
Yeah.
If it flies around the room, it can become a rocket. It can do all this other kind of things in a kid's imagination.
That's why I've always noticed.
Tangent.
You end up buying a toy for a kid, and it's kind of funny. We laugh about it, but sometimes the kid will get more out of the box. I'm talking about the little kids. They get more out of the box than they do the toy itself.
Yeah, I guess you can make stuff out of that box sometimes.
I remember buying my nephew, my eldest nephew, Baron. I bought him a big stuffed toy of the Beast once. Really isn't that big, but it was the first one they brought out of him. And but I remember it was a 1991, and I remember the Beast came in this box that was made to look like a seat for the Beast. So Baron picks up the Beast and sets it next to the box, sits down holding this old toy guitar, and sets in the box like a chair. And it was so cute.
I hope Burns is going to listen to this show, because that'd be awesome, because he's all grown up now.
You don't remember that at all, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Oh, the fun. Let's see. Is there anything we're not... Oh, you know, there was, I think, the last Christmas pageant we ever got to do together and everything. You were teaching a class.
Usually am,
yeah. And you had me come out as Linus. You had all the kids were given lines from different Christmas specials on trying to figure out the meaning of Christmas, and I came down as Linus and gave the lines.
And unfortunately, we didn't get to practice that one as much as I'd hoped we had.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. And the fact that I remember, you know, you all who are listening probably don't know, but every year I try to make two or three new songs. All I do is take songs that everybody knows them, like Jingle Bells, whatever, and change the lyrics to represent Jesus or something of a biblical principle. And so I remember that year we took Blue Christmas and we sang There Will Be No Christmas Without You. And the kids are singing for Jesus. The kids are singing to Jesus. They said, There Would Be No Christmas Without You. And then they went through the whole thing. And at the end of it, they say, you know, if you let him in, then Christmas can begin and we'll have a true, true Christmas. Yeah. And that was a good one.
Yeah, I remember that one. That reminds me, speaking of songs that were like tradition, I remember every year your mom would even sing, and I don't know what you call the song, but C is for the Christ child.
That is called Christmas, and it has the letters.
Uh-huh. It has all the letters of Christmas.
A lot of people don't know this. I learned it from Jim Reeves, great old singer.
I've heard that version, I think. Yeah, on the radio.
He starts off with a... when I was just a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that I'd be getting lots of toys that day. I learned a whole lot different when Mother set me down and taught me to spell Christmas this way. And then goes into spelling it. C is for the Christ child, born upon this day. H is for herald angels in the night. R means our Redeemer. I means Israel, and S is for the star that shone so bright. T is for three wise men.
They travel far. Yeah. M is for the manger where he lay. Mm-hmm.
A is for all he stands for. S means shepherds came, and that's why there's a Christmas day. Then he goes
You're
back.
Getting more songs than you expected this
yeah,
time, right?
Because sorry.
You're getting us singing, which is probably horrible.
I didn't realize until looking at a video I was in not long ago, I sing continuously. I'm always singing. Don't even realize
okay.
it. I'll just pick up. I didn't know it, but I was watching it with my wife, watching a video, and I said, did I really sing that much? She goes, I can't ever get you to stop.
Which is why that when back when that Chicken Little movie came out with the little pig guy, when he was always yeah. singing, that's why he reminded us of you. It was like not because he was a pig or anything.
It's okay.
But because he was always singing and he was always pretty happy. And it's like, that's Phil. It's personality.
I know I'm the John Candy type of guy. It's okay.
With more songs involved.
That's right.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there anything else I can think of like the Christmas pageants that we used to do?
Well,
I think of course, now I'm all grown up. They've all changed. And I'm, you know, but of course, we're talking childhood memories. But now as a grown up, now I'm in the choir and I sing cantatas and they're all these big, nice things. And
I still do a lot of the same things. I'm the one now who has to come up with things for kids to do.
Yeah.
Problem is, when you don't have a whole lot of kids, you find yourself doing most of it. And so I don't know if people think I do that on purpose, but the fact of the matter is I've learned a lot of things. First of all, as kids have grown up, a lot of them that I've had, at least, are a lot less hammier. And they don't really want to do a lot. So they don't mind singing, but they don't want to learn lines. So I've learned a lot of times to put all the pressure on myself.
Yeah.
And this year, provided we get to do it tomorrow, and if not, we'll do it in a week. What I'm going to do is sing songs with the kids. And I'm going to show all the drawings I've done of Jesus in the style that I do. And that way, through song and time, I will tell the story of Jesus. That way, we'll have a nativity, even though we don't have enough kids to do it. And they won't have to be embarrassed by learning lines. And we'll all go out together in the same light.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's really impressed me. The church I'm going now, the children already did their show. And I have the audio. I might share a little bit, but I don't know how well it picked up. But they did this baseball-themed kind of play. It was adorable. But it's always going to be a great tradition to see the children do some sort of Christmas program.
Beautiful.
Even if you don't have any kids, because I don't. But I love watching everybody else's kids. I enjoy them. They're wonderful. They're so much fun. They put so much time and effort into it. And it's always going to be a grand tradition. I will enjoy it until my dying day and probably even thereafter.
Amen.
So, and remind myself to put a disclaimer that, yes, there will be religious talk in this episode, but it's Christmas. We're going to talk Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is what Christmas means to us. You know, whatever Christmas means to you, feel free to email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. And please do visit the website, neverlandpodcast.com. You can download any songs that I played during this show, which I haven't even picked out every song I'm going to play. I'm going to have to interrupt us to do them. But I love playing some Christmas music. And if you like the Christmas music, same as I do, I'll have it available so you can purchase them directly from iTunes. Once again, I will say, find me on Twitter. It's just simply the Neverland Podcast. That's Facebook. Twitter, it's Neverland PCast. So go ahead and follow me. Friend me on Facebook. We have a grand old time. But basically, so far, mainly what I've tweeted and shared out is
that a new show is available. And also, I'll let you know what I'm talking about on the next show. And what I like from that is for you to email in if you have a story that you'd like to share on whatever the subject matter is going to be. I want to hear from you because I do plan on sharing. Now, if anybody has shared with me, I haven't looked at the email in a couple of days. I will be sharing right now your stories of maybe something fun you did when you were in a Christmas pageant, or some memories you might have. Otherwise, hey, you haven't shared a memory, then please do. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say about that. And I will probably close the show out. Actually, my wife should have a good story for everybody. She was about to tell last week. If all you that listened last week, my wife has all kinds of good, fun Christmas stories. And I was thinking, okay, we'll just share like one because I'm planning to be here still next year and maybe the year after and the year after. And so I always have a good, fresh Christmas story, but she just wanted to tell everything. And she started to tell her Christmas pageant story. And I had to. I was in the room, so I was signaling in her. And so if you listened last week, she actually said, oh, and my husband is reminding me to share it, save it for next week. So I'm going to get her recorded at some fashion and have her share the story, which might be somewhere in the middle of the show. I don't know. You may have already heard it by the time you're hearing me say this right now. As you can tell, I am not that scripted. I think of what I want to say in my head, and then I just say it. So I try to think ahead, but
I was remembering another Christmas present.
Oh, good.
This was from 1996, I do believe. But I remember that we put on a big play. We had a lot of people at the church at the time. And my aunt was directing it. And she decided to have two nativities in one. And the first one was what kids misunderstand about the story and how people get words all mixed up and messed up and what's really going on. And then the second one was when it was all done right. I remember that she had me and told me, she said, "Philip, how would you like to be a real big, tall angel?" And I said, "I think that kind of angel would scare the people to death."
"I am the angel of Christmas."
But anyway, she had me dress up in a big white robe. And folks, I'm a big fella. I mean, I really am. So that would be scary. But anyway, I was standing with all the kids around me. And I was the herald angel. And so
Herald the angel?
I had my name said, it had a herald's badge on me. And I came out. This. Yeah, and I had to sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing," and I had to do this real cheesy. She said, like a lounge lizard, you know. And I couldn't help but think of that type of a guy, that kind of a Robert Goulet meets John Lovitz type,
with a little bit of Frank Sinatra. That's for some
it.
Class.
That's it, man. And with the size and stature of John Candy and John Goodman combined. But anyway, so I was out there singing that, and then I remember my cousin John. You guys came down as the wise men, and you guys were kind of goofy. And she had made, because she was a great at sewing and making things. She made him come out riding an ostrich.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes. It was so funny.
And by the time it was all done, they did the real nativity.
Yeah.
It was real nice and pretty. And there was a lot of singing. I remember there was candles lit everywhere. It was really pretty. It worked out really well.
Oh, and that's something else. You know, this is a different sort of childhood memory, but that's something I've always loved, is having a candlelight service.
Absolutely.
When we go and we turn out the lights, and your father would start with a lit candle and would pass it on, and we'd until we lit up the whole room, and then we'd all sing Silent Night together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, get you at the heart.
My father had a real classy way of speaking. Yeah, I mean, he has. I'm sure you can tell
with his Arkansas.
That's it.
It's just his history.
History. Yeah. When you
the mystery of his history.
You can hear in my voice probably a little bit of accent. That's okay. But he had a good accent. But it was the way he was talk was so down home and comfortable. And when he would talk about the Lord Jesus, you could feel the love.
Yeah.
And he would speak, and he loved those services. That and the Thanksgiving night service, the night before Thanksgiving, we'd have prayer services, and those were his favorites. Those were his favorite Wednesdays, because he said that he could feel the love of the Lord in the room. And in fact, one time I talked to him, he started getting teary eyed, and I tell you, it just about makes me cry thinking of it. But he was such a good man, and always talking about one who's even better than him, the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And so those candlelight services were outstanding. As a man of God, I thought they were great. As the janitor of the church that I used to be, I couldn't stand.
Are you going to wax poetic about it?
Well, what I would have to do, I found a little secret. Now, it doesn't work extremely well.
Put it under the arm?
Yeah, this is what it was. No.
Okay.
If you take like brown paper, and you kind of like a brown paper bag, and you take an iron and you put the paper down and you go over it, you can pick up a lot of wax.
Ah, just make sure you take the apples and the oranges and the candy canes out of that brown paper.
That's
bag
right.
Off, right.
That's right.
So you can have something to eat while you're working.
So we used to do those and loved them. We're still doing some of that. We're still doing some of the handing out the candy and all. And my dad taught me well. He said, wait till after Halloween, get them on sale.
There you go.
And we did.
Oh, yeah.
And every year we, and to this day, I go out and I do those very things, get stuff ready, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm glad the church I go to, we do a candlelight service on Christmas
Eve. Outstanding.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. And always having a good time with doing our Christmas cantata thing. This, once again, I'm getting away from a childhood memory, but this, you know, this past week when we did our cantata.
You're still a child, you know that.
Yeah, I'm still a big kid. But it is so much fun. But that's one of the things that's special about Christmas. And maybe for a lot of people listening, you're not part of a church, and you know, maybe it's a Christmas tree was just something Santa Claus, and you know, that's a whole other ball of wax. But it was just so special. Singing, we didn't even do songs that were Christmas songs. We did this thing called Experiencing God. But when the church would recognize the song we were singing, and they would be singing along with us. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, because they sing with us all the time when you're up in the praise choir and you're just, you know, with worship time. But during when you're doing your program and you got the music and everybody, and we all sing together, it's just so special. And especially when we had some stuff that brought tears to eyes and everything. It's just, you know, that's the way I can describe. And once again, warning, religious content, warning. But you can feel God's presence in the room as like this great love.
Yeah.
When you just have this love where you just kind of want to take everybody by the hand and just hug everybody there.
Is that what I call the goosebumpy feeling?
The goosebumpy feeling of just, but you just feel this love wrap you up and over them. And that's, to me, what God feels like when he shows up. It's just, you just feel just this great love. And
speaking of Peter Pan type of stuff, I always feel like that's where I feel like my happy thought is, where I can fly. I've been there many times, but I just feel like I'm not even standing on the same ground, you know, up high.
So I encourage everybody, you know, if you hear this before Christmas Eve, you know, find a local church if they're doing a Christmas Eve service and just be a part of it. You'll make some new memories. I really think you'd enjoy it. Bring the whole family along. And finally, if you're doing a good candlelight service where you just can sing together, it'll make your Christmas really special, unless you're completely, you know, an atheist. And you probably don't care. And if that's the case, you're probably already stop listening to me by now. Anyway.
Okay, as we come back to wind up the show, I do want to remind you, of course, of Podgagement and Dubby. I've got links there. I believe the show notes should have some. Also, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find some links there. You can get a discount at Dubby. They have energy drinks. It's a powder. You mix it with water. It's not going to give you the jitters. It's all healthy stuff, not a bunch of caffeine. And you need some energy to go and play some video games. Well, this is the stuff for your all-night gaming sessions to have. Dubby. Make sure you go and find those links on our website or here in the show notes. And also Podgagement, used to be known as My Podcast Reviews. Daniel J. Lewis, a wonderful man. He has been doing some updates to that website, and you can get in there. If you happen to have a podcast, you can get your international reviews. This is also how I managed to get my reviews to show up on the websites and everything for this, and Marvel at Neverland Podcast, or marvel.neverlandpodcast.com is where the Mighty Marvel Toon Cast will land. I should probably one of these days buy that domain. I need to get a domain that says the Fandom Nexus one of these days, but that costs money. So if you want to contribute into the show, that will help me. So don't forget, we do have a Patreon page as well. So, but anyways, I do want to wrap this up by thanking Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren White of the Will High and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Because I did still use it this week. I'm thinking maybe next week I'm going to pull out an old intro I did for Christmas, and maybe I'll tweak it because it's talking about being the Neverland podcast. So, but I had a fun Christmas intro back in the day. Don't forget to email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Come find us on Twitter or X, Neverland PCast. We also have a Facebook like page and a group. The group is where I tend to share more stuff. It's a little easier. I don't have to like swap out to a different account or whatever. Facebook kind of changed things. So yeah, once again, there's Patreon links there in the show notes and also on the website. I do appreciate when you help me out. But until we come back next week to share the Christmas story, get lost in an adventure, and we'll see you next week.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.